It was an ancient dilemma. Without dissociating and budding, new members of the kin could not be generated. But by going off alone to dissociate, a lone Leviathan was prey to the ever-lurking darters. Leviathan remembered its own buddings and the narrow escapes it had won from the slashing, insatiable darters. Its battles were painful memories, and the time for a new dissociation was approaching, Leviathan knew. Time and again, Leviathan had pictured the same question to the elders. Why must a member go off alone to dissociate and bud? Why cannot some members of the kin escort the individual through its dissociation and budding? The elder's response was always the same horrified revulsion. Dissociating in view of others? Disgusting. The images they flashed said that the symmetry could only be maintained by continuing the ancient ways, the rituals that the kin had observed from time immemorial. The darters are part of the symmetry, they pictured. Accept them as you accept the food that drifts down from the cold abyss above. Their answer did not satisfy Leviathan, but there was nothing to be done about it. The kin would go about their lives, feeding, dissociating, budding, and coalescing to create new kin members just as they always had. And the darters would feast on their weakest. Unless the flow of food was permanently ended, the symmetry completely broken, then the kin and the darters alike would starve. The storm was growing stronger. Leviathan's eye parts could see the faint flicker of lightning afar off. Faintly, Leviathan's sensor parts reported that there were indeed currents of food swirling toward the storm's churning vortex. Stationed out on the perimeter of the kin, Leviathan kept its sensory parts keenly on guard against approaching darters. But it saw nothing. The sea was empty of their threat. Still, Leviathan felt uneasy. They were out there, it knew. Out beyond the range of our sensors, Leviathan reasoned, the darters are waiting for one of us to break away and begin dissociating. Alone. How close to the storm will we go? Leviathan drew the image of that question on its flank, its luminescent members lighting up in response to the directions from its central brain. The image flickered from Leviathan to Leviathan, inward toward the core of their flotilla, where the elders made their stately way. As it waited for an answer, Leviathan thought again that the kin who were about to dissociate should be at the kin's center, protected from the darters. Yet the elders regarded his suggestion with abhorrence. Do not attempt to change what has always been, they pictured in harsh blue images. Accept what must always be. Accept. Leviathan had no choice but to accept the will of the elders. But it thought that when the time came, many, many buddings from now, when Leviathan itself became an elder, it would change these ancient ways. It would protect the members who now had to face the daughters alone. It would make the kin safer and better. For now, though, Leviathan had to accept the elder's decision. For now, Leviathan's sensor members flashed a shrill warning. Darters! A huge pack of them out there, just on the edge of detection, moving in the same direction as the kin, but angling so that they were cutting across the feeble flow of food that was being sucked toward the growing storm. The darters were placing themselves between the kin and the needed current of food. This was something new. Leviathan had never seen such a maneuver in all the images the elders had shown. The darters were waiting to ambush the kin. Not satisfied with attacking lone members, they were maneuvering to cut off the kin from their food. This was something new and dangerous.
Observation Blister. As they left Dr. Pohan's office, Deirdre looked up at the cyborg and said, "Thank you so much, Dorn." "De nada," he said, then translated, "It's nothing." "It means a lot to me." He said nothing. She felt almost uncomfortable walking beside him along the passageway. She was not accustomed to having to look up at people, and he was almost 10 centimeters taller than she, his shoulders broad, his torso like the thick body of a miner's digging torch. "He's half metal," she kept thinking to herself. "Half of his body is a machine." At last she said, "You didn't ask what my medical problem is."
"Does it matter?" he asked. "You need my help. It's simple enough for me to give it."
They passed a pair of crewmen in gray fatigues coming down the passageway from the other direction. Both men smiled at Deirdre and glanced furtively at Dorn as they squeezed past the cyborg. Deirdre wondered, "What happened to you when you tried to make contact with the dolphins?" For several paces, Dorn said nothing. "I'm sorry," Deirdre said. "I shouldn't pry."
"I saw my own past," he said, his voice a low rumble.
"Your past? That made you go berserk like that?" His voice heavy with misery, Dorn replied,
"It was like all my nightmares at once."
Deirdre didn't know how to respond to that. They walked on for a few more moments. Then Dorn asked her,
"Did you look up Doric Harbin's dossier last night?"
Nodding, Deirdre replied, "Yes, I did."
"So you know who I was?"
She thought about that for a moment, then said, "But who are you now?" He looked down at her as they paced along the passageway. "I mean," Deirdre explained, "the dossier stopped with the verdict at your trial. Dr. Jaeger says you're some kind of priest. And when did you..." She couldn't finish the sentence.
"When did I disfigure myself? When did I become a cyborg?"
Deirdre nodded again. Another group of people were coming down the corridor toward them. 5 passengers, from the way they were dressed. 2 of them were women. Dorn waited for them to pass, then suggested,
"We need some privacy to discuss this without being interrupted."
"Or overheard," Deirdre added silently. She followed him as he headed for the elevator. "He expects me to go to his quarters?" she wondered. But once they got into the elevator, Dorn called out,
"Observation Blister."
Turning to Deirdre, he said,
"We should be able to speak freely there."
Australia's Observation Blister was a glass steel ring that ran around the circumference of the ship's outer hull. It was an adornment for passengers, where they could look out on the universe from the safety of the ship. To the surprise of the shipping company's management, hardly any passengers took advantage of the facility during mid-transit. Despite highly advertised lectures and even cocktail parties hosted by the captain, most passengers had little interest in observing the all-engulfing black emptiness of the universe. It made them uneasy, even frightened. Only when the ship was approaching planetfall did passengers come to gape at the world they were approaching. Dorn ushered Deirdre through one of the hatches that lined the circular passageway between the elevators and the blister. She stepped through and gasped. As Dorn closed the hatch,